Let's start before we look at the readings together. Let's start in prayer. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us through your scriptures, through the words that we have heard this morning. Touch each one of us in this time before Christmas. In your name we pray. Amen. So, as Susie said, today is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and the day that traditionally we remember Mary, the mother of Christ. When we look at the trust and the faith that Mary showed in the most difficult of circumstances, we can't help but be amazed and humbled. Just last week, those of us who were at the Carols by Candlelight service heard the reading from Luke's Gospel and listened to the angel's announcement and Mary's faith-filled response. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me according to your word. It's a staggering example of faith and obedience. God certainly chose the right young woman to be Jesus' mother. But there's another person in the family, one who is equally important, if not remembered quite so readily, Joseph, Jesus' father. Whereas Luke's account of Jesus' birth focuses on Mary, Matthew's account that we've just heard read notes Joseph's part in the story. And actually, it is a really important part. And if we're honest, in most places, Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, the one who, after all, wasn't really his actual father, appears almost as an afterthought in the story. Mary receives top billing. Luke barely mentions Joseph. And even though Matthew's account does give Joseph a much more central role, he still doesn't get to speak any lines. We don't hear his words. But Joseph is the unsung hero of the Christmas story. Think of the Christmas carols you know. We sing of the Virgin and child, the angels, the shepherds, the wise men. Can you think of a single carol in which Joseph plays more than a bit part? Think of art and paintings. Centuries of religious art have produced numerous Madonna and child scenes, often with no sign of Joseph, as if he's been airbrushed out of the family. How many paintings have you seen of Joseph and child? I've been lucky enough to visit Bethlehem, and when I did, I brought back with me a beautiful set of carved wooden nativity figures. I love setting them out each Christmas at the start of Advent as we prepare for that time of thinking about the coming Christ child. But I am painfully aware that when I do so, I have to work out who Joseph is by a process of elimination. Mary and the Christ child are easy enough. The kings or wise men are easy to identify because they usually have crowns and robes and they're carrying gifts. Then I'm left with a couple of figures that are either shepherds or Joseph. And to be honest, I have to kind of just make my mind up, this one will be Joseph this year, and pop him by Mary, and he's Joseph. Job done. He's there. He's an essential part of the story, but he doesn't exactly stand out, does he? We don't make much of Joseph, and yet he plays a crucial role. In reading the birth story in Matthew, we learn that Mary and Joseph were betrothed. Now, in the first century Jewish culture, this meant they were already considered as husband and wife. There were various stages of marriage. You were engaged, then you were betrothed, and that could only be broken by divorce. And then you were married and consummated the marriage. So unfaithfulness at the stage of betrothal, which is where they were, would have been considered as adultery. So when Mary turns out to be pregnant, Joseph decided that he could do nothing but break off the relationship. Matthew describes Joseph as a righteous man, a person utterly devoted to keeping the law and the covenant. As such, he was legally justified to end the betrothal. That's what he should have done. But Joseph's concern for the woman he loved caused him to temper that decision with mercy. since he knew what would happen to Mary if he divorced her publicly because of her infidelity. As in the eyes of the law, she would be seen as an adulteress. Legally, she could be stoned to death. Even if not, she would almost certainly be ostracized by the community, turned out by her family. He knew she'd have to scratch an existence for herself and her baby, begging, borrowing, or stealing. As a righteous man, Joseph did not want this for his family. Torn between loyalty to his wife and loyalty to the law, he attempted to do both by dismissing her quietly. Then Joseph has a dream, a divine encounter with an angel that goes against everything he has ever known, all his expectations. Yet somehow he cannot deny that this has been from Yahweh. The God of Israel has a plan that involves him and Mary and maybe others. Can he really be part of the plan of God? Joseph was entrusted to be Jesus' father. He wasn't a rabbi or a scribe or one of the leaders. He was an ordinary bloke, skilled in manual labor, who was betrothed to an equally ordinary girl. He had two qualifications for the Christmas drama. He was a descendant of David, and for some reason known only to God, he was God's choice. His role is significant. You see, despite the fact that the culture of the time would have called for Joseph to publicly divorce Mary, and some members of the community would have demanded the death penalty, Joseph was faithful to God, going against the cultural laws and expectations. He had the courage to stand up against the social conventions of the time. We should not underestimate what a hugely courageous act this was on Joseph's part. He probably felt at first that his whole life, his whole world had fallen apart. His good name had been dishonored. His trust had been violated. Joseph could have walked away from the entire situation, but he did not. He could not forget that he was a righteous man, remembering who he had been all these years and what strength and guidance this brought to his life. Don't forget, Mary saw the angel face to face. She felt the baby growing inside her and knew what was happening. Joseph just had all this on hearsay, on a dream. What faith, what trust he showed. And he does even more than the angel commanded in the dream, having no union with Mary until the child was born. And then he obeyed the command of the angel to name the child Jesus. Because Jesus was named by Joseph, Jesus became part of the Davidic line, a descendant of David. Joseph's supportive role establishes him as a human being of remarkable strength and spiritual stature. He possessed the boldness, the courage, and the strength of character to defy the expectations of his community. And then, of course, as we know, Joseph and Mary were caught up in an absolute whirlwind of events, being forced to leave Nazareth, to travel more than 80 miles over rough terrain to Bethlehem, just in time for Mary, in primitive conditions, to give birth to their son in unfamiliar and basic surroundings. Then, after a short period of time, a decree by Herod threatened the life of their son, with Joseph again warned by an angel in a dream. They fled as refugees to Egypt, where Joseph was forced to live in a strange land, amid a strange culture, caring for his wife and his child. It's hard for us to imagine how Joseph could provide such protection for his family, except for the assurances of God's presence and the angelic voices who guided him amid Herod's threats to his son. Because of Joseph's obedience, Jesus was kept safe until he was an adult and able to fulfill his ministry. So what does that tell us? Well, it tells us that Joseph was a man of deep, deep integrity, that he was willing to let go of his reputation, let go of the expectations of his culture and traditions, let go of the accepted ideas of what should be. He was prepared to stand up for the vulnerable, and allow the righteousness of God to be his standard. We learn from his example that we too need to be prepared to do that, to let go of our own expectations and to allow God's justice to be evident. It presents a challenge because it means coming to an understanding that God's ways might not, and indeed do not, always fall in line with our own. It says in Isaiah, "My ways are not your ways, nor my thoughts your thoughts." When Bishop Jonathan was here last week and preached to us, he reminded us that we should not assume that God will do what he did last time, or indeed what we want him to do. But we need to be looking out for God to see where he might be working, what new thing he might be doing now, and to be ready and obedient enough to join in with it. To the culture at that time, the actions of Joseph may have seemed foolish, but he was willing to surrender his will to the will of God. Not simply doing what was right, but fulfilling God's plan for humanity. God's grace worked through him, a young man, an ordinary man, not one of the elite, not a religious leader or a teacher. And that is why a humble carpenter became part of one of the most significant events in history. Joseph wasn't chosen because he was a smart man, a strong man, a rich or famous man. He was chosen because he was faithful and obedient. Joseph shows us that obeying God is always the right thing to do. So what does that story teach us about our lives this Christmas? Well, for me, it raises the question of how we react when our expectations are turned upside down. Dare we consider the possibility that somehow maybe God is working through this? Or that God can work through the circumstances to fulfill his purposes, even when they're hard, challenging, or make no sense to us? Joseph does what the angel of the Lord commands. We learn from him the importance of trusting in God's will and carrying it out. Because in many ways, Joseph is someone with whom we can all identify, a common man, an ordinary person, like any one of us here, who was obedient to God's will for his life against the expectations of the time. He was not concerned about public disgrace. Sometimes accepting that God dwells among us may result in others not understanding. He is the God who steps outside of expectation. So this Christmas season, like Joseph, like Mary, are there factors leading you to live a life that you did not envisage, plan, or desire? Does it feel as though the winds of the world are against you, that doubt, despair, disbelief are what you feel inside? See, we have tremendously high expectations of Christmas. We want everything to be perfect. We have pictures in our minds of children playing, church choirs singing, people smiling and getting along. But often it is not like that. It's supposed to be, as the song says, the most wonderful time of the year and the happiest season of all. But for many, it will be a very difficult time because something has interrupted that joy. It may be illness. It may be death. It may be divorce or loneliness. If you are desperately trying to find peace, hope, and joy this Christmas, if you are stressed just because of the sheer busyness of it and really tired, listen to the words of Jesus. "Come to me, all you who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest." Whatever you may be enduring right now, why not remember the example of Joseph and ask, "God, are you using this to do something great in my life? Could an ordinary person like me be part of your ongoing Christmas story?" So whatever you're experiencing this Christmas, whether good or bad, there is one thing you can do. Stop and give thanks to God for Jesus. And as you praise and thank God, even if it's in the midst of really difficult circumstances, something of the peace that Jesus came to bring will be yours. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.